Right, I am, you guys are killing me with the pie. Somebody told me I should have a piece of pie up here with me while I'm preaching this morning, and I was tempted to do so. I thought about it for a second. But other than the pie, where can I put this? I'll just put it here. Other than the mean act of eating pie right in front of me while I preach, I am very excited to be here. Yeah, I miss you guys. I miss seeing more of you regularly. I miss worshiping with you more regularly. But I've been so excited to just hear about all that God is doing here. This is like my first time here with the new setup. So I walked in this morning. I'm like, wait a minute. I'm not sure. Where should I sit? Like, I knew exactly where I would sit every time I'd come with the old setup. So, but yeah, I am so excited to be here. And so we're going to continue. You know, we've been in a series on the Gospel of John. And so we're going to continue with that this morning. And the nice thing about the Gospel of John, and you've heard this mentioned, I think, several times over these last couple of months as we've been in it, but like John makes it like so clear what the purpose of his book is. And the purpose of his book is that we might know that Jesus is the Christ, that we might believe in him, that we might have life through his name. And so like everything that we look at in the book of John points to that. So it makes it kind of even very easy to understand what the book of John is all about, even as we look at specific chapters, specific stories, and all of that. And so Jesus, in the book of John, makes a lot of very bold, very strong, even very kind of provocative statements about himself. And so we've heard statements like, I am the bread of life. Even last week, Jesus says, come to me, I have living water. And others. And so here we're going to be in chapter 8 this morning, and we're actually going to like focus on one verse, and it's chapter 8, verse 12. And so if you want to look at that one verse, we're going to look at that. I'll mention a couple of other verses in the chapter, but we're going to kind of use chapter 8, verse 12 as a jumping off point to look at a lot of other scriptures even this morning. And I'm going to actually read a lot of different scriptures this morning. I hope that's okay. Especially since we're in church, right? So I'm going to read a lot of different scriptures. So in order to understand what we're talking about in chapter 8, verse 12, when Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. That's the verse we're going to be looking at. This strong statement, another provocative statement from Jesus. I am the light of the world. So in order to understand what Jesus is talking about when he says that he is the light of the world, we first need to talk a little bit about darkness, the opposite of light. And if you think about it, rarely when we talk about darkness are we talking about something positive. You know, if I were to have like the lights turned off in here, which I actually considered doing. I thought that would be kind of fun, to just turn the lights off during this part. If I were to do that, though, like it wouldn't be looked at as like, hey, the lights are off, awesome. No, like you'd like think something was wrong. Like it's kind of backwards, like lights aren't supposed to be off. Like, you know, those of you who are like go-getters would like, you'd be getting up and like trying to fix the problem, you know, trying to find the light switches. You'd be like turning on the flashlight on your phone, right? So it wouldn't be a positive thing unless you need a nap, in which case you might be all about it. Otherwise, we don't look at it as a positive thing. Darkness evokes like negative images, right? Negative images of things like fear, being afraid of the dark, right? I remember, you know, when I was a kid, maybe some of you too, like I was kind of afraid of the dark. My kids struggle with that. Sadie, she's afraid of the dark. And so like she'll come into our room like a couple times a night and she's afraid of the dark. So it evokes these images of fear, even like confusion, pain, struggle, depression, right? When we talk about ourselves, when we're like struggling or when we're feeling like a sense of depression or anxiety or other things like that, when we're going through a hard time, what do we describe ourselves as? We describe ourselves as being in a what place? Dark place, right? We say that we're in a dark place. Sometimes, maybe you've heard of the phrase, the dark night of the soul. this idea of depression. We also might be thinking like about things that are hidden, right? We also have another phrase like where we feel like we've been kept in the dark, right? Or we're keeping someone else in the dark. It's things that are hidden. Bad things happen in the dark. And don't get me started on daylight savings time. I know, you know, some of you may like, you know, daylight savings time because now if you go to work early, then it's not as depressing to get up in the dark. You have light. For me, it's like if it gets dark at like 4 o'clock in the afternoon, that is like so depressing, right? Daylight savings time, come on. The scriptures talk a lot about this idea of darkness. And that's why like I don't feel like I can preach this idea this morning, this light and darkness and this idea of Jesus saying, I'm the light of the world, without like reading a lot of scripture, because scripture talks about it so much. It talks about what darkness kind of symbolizes. So here's what the scriptures say about darkness. Scriptures talk about darkness as a symbol of sin. In the book of John, chapter 3, verses 19 and 20, it says this: the light has come into the world, and people loved darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. Darkness, it's a symbol of sin. Darkness also symbolizes like ignorance of the truth. In the book of Psalm 82, verse 5, it says, they have neither knowledge nor understanding. They walk about in darkness. Ignorance of the truth. Darkness symbolizes the inability to find the right way. Again, the book of John, chapter 12, verse 35 says, so Jesus said to them, walk while you have the light, lest the darkness overtake you. The one who walks in the darkness does not know where he is going. Darkness, you can't find the right way. Darkness symbolizes times of trial. Psalm 143:3, for the enemy has pursued my soul. He has crushed my life to the ground. He has made me sit in darkness. Trials. Darkness symbolizes death and the grave. In Job, a lot in the book of Job, this idea comes out. Job chapter 10, verses 20 to 22. Are not my days few? Then cease, leave me alone, that I may find a little cheer before I go. And I shall not return to the land of darkness and deep shadow, the land of gloom, like thick darkness, like deep shadow without any order, where light is as thick as darkness. The scriptures talk about this idea of darkness. And in Judea 2,000 years ago, the context into which Jesus comes, when he comes on the scene, it is a dark time. God has been silent for almost 400 years. The people are feeling like they are in the dark. They're feeling even abandoned by God because of his silence. And because they're also not only just feeling abandoned by God because he's been silent, they're also being oppressed by the Romans. It's a really dark time for them. The culture was dark as well. They had adopted much of the Hellenistic or the kind of the Greek philosophy and way of life. The culture was very dark. And even practically speaking, right, back then, so there's no electricity back then, so most people, you know, they went to bed when the sun went down, they got up when the sun rose, and so it was kind of understood that the honest work was always done during the daylight. That's where we get the phrase in the book of Romans, chapter 13, verse 12, where it says, let us put aside the deeds or the works of darkness. That's where that's coming from. So the context, the culture, even just practically, their situation was very dark. Darkness. And Jesus comes into this darkness. He comes into this darkness as the antithesis of the darkness. He challenges the darkness. He speaks to the darkness and to the people that are living in darkness. And he says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And if you take some time later, I'm not going to get into it, but if you read the verses just following this verse, the darkness and the people living in darkness, they react. They react very strongly to Jesus' claim. What does this mean that Jesus like says that he is the light of the world? What does it mean that he is that light? Well, you can first imagine that it's pretty much going to be the opposite of what we just talked about. All of the things that darkness symbolizes, he is going to be the opposite of that. And the scriptures, as you can imagine, they have a lot to say about darkness. They also have a lot to say about light. So here's what the scriptures say about light. So if the darkness is oppressive, if the darkness is painful, if the darkness evokes fear, then the book of Isaiah chapter 9, Isaiah prophesies and says this, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned." If darkness symbolizes sin and its bondage, then Jesus tells Paul in the book of Acts chapter 26, verse 17 and 18, he says to Paul, "I am sending you to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to the kingdom of God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me." Colossians 1:13 says, "He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." And I love that we sang this song this morning that comes partly from John chapter 8, the chapter we're in, verse 36. "If the Son sets you free, then you are free indeed." If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. If the darkness symbolizes that sin and its bondage, Jesus as the light symbolizes freedom, forgiveness. If the darkness symbolizes ignorance of the truth, here's what it says in 2 Corinthians 4:6. "God, who said, 'Let the light shine out of darkness,' has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." And then again in John chapter 8, the chapter we're in, verse 31 and 32, Jesus says, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth." Jesus is the opposite. Jesus is the truth. If darkness symbolizes the inability to find the right way, Jesus says in John 14:6, "I am the way. I am the way." And here in chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus said, "Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness. I am the way." It's very interesting. You know, Jesus does not just, and other, you know, writers of scripture, it's hard for us to imagine. Kind of, we just kind of read it, and it's even hard for us sometimes to imagine the context. These are real people that are living in real times that are actually in a real kind of present situation when they're writing, when they're thinking about these things. Jesus, when he's teaching, he's in a real place, in a real time with real people that real things are happening. And so a lot of times when he teaches, he gets his illustrations, he gets kind of his teachings or his stories from things that are actually happening around him. And so what's very interesting is that in chapter 7, if you remember, that during this time he was in Jerusalem during the Feast of Booths. And it's very likely that here in chapter 8, at the beginning of chapter 8, that he is also kind of teaching maybe on the last day of the Feast of Booths, or at least very shortly after this feast is over. And if you remember, the Feast of Booths commemorates the Israelites wandering in the wilderness. And on the last day of that feast, they have one of the kind of the biggest celebrations of the feast, which is that they have a lighting of a menorah, or they call it the great candlestick. And the lighting of that candlestick signifies and kind of brings to remembrance the pillar of fire. Remember, this is commemorating their wandering in the wilderness. Well, how were they guided in the wilderness in the night, in the dark? A pillar of fire. And so this lighting of this great candlestick signifies and is remembering the pillar of fire that guided the Israelites through the wilderness in the darkness as they made their way to the promised land. So Jesus, maybe even on that day, he may even be looking at that candlestick as he's teaching, because he's teaching in the temple courts. This is where it's all happening. He may be pointing to that, or he may be kind of remembering that has just happened. And Jesus says, I am the light. That light commemorates that pillar of fire in the wilderness. Listen, that was God that was guiding you, and I am the light now. I am the light that will guide you through the darkness. Jesus is the way. If darkness symbolizes times of trial, then 1 Peter 2:9 says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. If darkness symbolizes death and the grave, then John 1, verses 4 and 5 says this, in him was life, talking about Jesus, in him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There is victory over the darkness. And here, even in chapter 8, verse 12, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't walk in darkness. What? But you will have the light of life. The darkness of death, the darkness of the grave has been overcome. There's been victory over that. Jesus says, I am that victory. I am that life. I am that light. Jesus entered into the darkness to proclaim that he was the light. And he was. And he is. I'm so glad that God didn't leave those people in the dark 2,000 years ago. And I'm so glad that he doesn't leave us in the dark either. That darkness, you know, if we think about the time back then and the darkness that existed, well, nothing much has changed, right? That darkness still exists today. Mass shootings, racism, abuse, we hear about it all the time. The darkness feels like it closes in around us sometimes, doesn't it? It's just all around us. And I've seen that darkness manifested all over the world. I mentioned that I've been to Cambodia a couple of times, and I remember the one time that I was there just sitting in a hotel that we were staying at. And, you know, in Cambodia, like the prostitution and all that, massage parlors and all that is so prevalent. And I just remember sitting there, I was like doing email or something, and you could just see like young women coming in and out of the hotel, and you knew what they were there for. Darkness. All around us. So I'm so glad that we get the chance now as a church to partner over there to bring the light into that darkness. You know, even this time of year, as we move into the holiday season, the depression rate and the suicide rate rises. It increases. And so I'm so glad that that God gave like Pastor Carl the vision to do a DI at this time of year, depressed and Christian. Because that darkness of depression, we are not immune to that, are we? Even as Christians, we're not immune to it. So I'll answer the question for you. Like one of the questions, can a Christian be depressed? Yes. Yep. It's darkness. And so today, you know, there are some of you that are here that maybe you are just kind of checking things out. Maybe a friend brought you. Maybe you just decided you wanted to check out a church this morning, or you've been seeking and you've been kind of trying to figure out what life is all about. You know that the world is darkness. And you also know that you have been living in that darkness. And so today, this morning, like right now, you can encounter Jesus as the light of the world. And you can actually step out of the darkness for the first time. You could step out of that darkness for the first time today. Some of you need to do that. Some of you need to do that this morning. Some of you, some of us, maybe are already followers of Jesus, right? But again, that doesn't make us immune to the darkness. In fact, sometimes as Christians, we feel like we have to live up to a certain standard. And so when we struggle with sin, sometimes we feel like that's not okay, and especially not okay to let anybody know about that. And I'm glad that I feel like here at GCCC we have an environment that we can be authentic, that we can be vulnerable with each other, that we can bring those things into the light. But you know what? Some of you today, some of us need to bring some of that stuff into the light. You're following Jesus, but there are some things that you are keeping in the dark. And Jesus is saying, look, if you're going to follow me, you're not going to walk in darkness. So some of you this morning need to bring those things out. You need to bring them out into the light and let Jesus do his work. You're not bringing them out into the light for a tyrant that's gonna beat you down. You're bringing them into the light for a Savior, for a Jesus, for a God who is merciful, who is gracious, who loves you, as his child if you are a child of his. You need to bring those things out into the light. 1 Corinthians 4:5, verse 5 says, therefore, do not pronounce judgment before the time, before the Lord comes, who will bring to light the things now hidden in darkness, and he will disclose the purposes of the heart. Then each one will receive his commendation from God. You need to bring that stuff into the light this morning. And also, not only that, but we, the church, like as followers of Jesus, we, the church, are called to bring the light of Jesus into the darkness. We are called to do that, to join Jesus in letting that light shine. Ephesians 5:8-9 says, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. If we were once in darkness and we're not in darkness anymore, we are now light in the Lord. But listen, we have to actually live like it. We have to live as children of light. There was a group of people back then that were called the Essenes. And they were a group of devout Jews who recognized that spiritual light and spiritual darkness could not coexist. And so they kind of refused to compromise with the darkness. And in their writings, the theme of light and darkness kind of recurs regularly throughout their writings. So these are the ones, the guys who wrote the Dead Sea Scrolls. And they anticipated the coming Messiah. And so what they did was they isolated themselves. They isolated themselves in order to establish more holy ways of worshiping God. They wanted to be ready. Like they wanted to be ready for this Messiah. They wanted to be light. Like they wanted to be sons of light. And so they recognized like how tempting it is, and we know this too, like how tempting it is to embrace the darkness. Like even as children of God, even as followers of Jesus, it's so tempting to embrace the darkness. And so they recognized that temptation. They understood that. So they isolated themselves. But in doing so, they kept their light hidden. They kept their light hidden, and there's been like studies that have been done that show many similarities between the Essenes and the early church. But you know what wasn't a similarity? Was their isolation. That was the thing that was not a similarity, and it certainly should not be a similarity today. the Essenes' hope was that their example, just their example of how they lived, would be draw people out of the darkness and into the light. But it didn't work. Because they isolated themselves, and so they kept that light hidden. Matthew 5:16 says, "You are the light of the world." Jesus calls us the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket. Right? That's ridiculous. You don't let light And Jesus says, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. So we, the church, are called not to isolate ourselves, thinking that in that way that we will actually live more like children of light because we're not in the darkness, we're not encountering it, we're separating ourselves from it. But Jesus says, that's backwards. That's backwards. I have not called you to isolate yourselves. I have called you to be the light, to go into the darkness, because the darkness, as it said in John, will not be able to overcome it. The light will overcome. You need to take the light to the darkness. Don't try and just wait, or don't try to just draw people out of the darkness. We need to go and take the light into the darkness. That's what Jesus calls us to as the church. So I just want to close by having us take some time to reflect. Because God's doing something in your heart. The Spirit is doing something in your heart this morning. And I want to give time and space for the Spirit to do that and for you to respond in the way that you need to. And so if you are here this morning and you're hearing this kind of thing for the first time and you know that you're living in darkness, that you've been living in darkness, but you don't want to live in that darkness anymore, then this is your day to say, all right, Jesus, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to encounter you as the light. I'm going to follow you into that. I'm going to embrace that. I want to follow you. And so you're going to take a step actually out of the darkness this morning for the first time. And that's amazing. That will be the most significant decision that you will ever make. And as you make that decision, you can know that there is a whole room full of people here that would love to celebrate that with you this morning, this afternoon, whatever it is. We want to celebrate that with you. And we also don't want to just celebrate, because as you take that step out of darkness into the light, you're not just doing that on your own. You are becoming part of a family. And this can be your family. This could be the family that walks with you, that encourages you, that challenges you to stay in the light and not go back and not live in the darkness, not keep things hidden, not keep things in the dark. Do that today. And some of you, the Spirit is convicting you, saying, yeah, man, yeah, I'm trying to follow Jesus, and I've made that choice, and I've given my life to him, but there are things that I just don't let anybody in on. There are ways that I keep everybody in the dark, whether it's habitual sins or struggles or brokenness that you have. You need to bring that stuff into the light this morning, today. Bring it into the light. And again, know that not only is Jesus like waiting for you to do that, and he wants to like cheer you on as you do that and give you grace and give you mercy and embrace you as you bring that stuff into the light. But again, you have a family here. You do have a church family, brothers and sisters here who want to embrace you as well. We want to celebrate together these times when there is breakthrough, when stuff is brought out of the darkness into the light. It's worth celebrating. And then some of us, maybe all of us, right? need to be challenged again this morning that we are the church, and Jesus calls us as the church that we are the light of the world. And how can he says, oh, I am the light of the world, and then he says, you are the light of the world. How does that work? Well, we are the body of Christ now. We are his body. We are him. Not just be the light, to take the light into the darkness. We've got to do it. And I'm so grateful for the many of you in this room who are doing that. And I'm so grateful that it's such a value and it's part of our vision as a church to continue to take the light into the darkness. But we need to hear that over and over and over again because it's so easy for us to just kind of isolate ourselves and just do our own thing and not be Jesus, not be the light into the darkness. So can we just bow our heads? And Esther, if you'd like to come up and play as we do that, let's just bow our heads just for a couple of moments. Just with hearts that are open to God, with hearts that are attentive and attuned. And I ask you this morning to let God do his work in you, to pay attention to that, and to respond appropriately to that today, right now. If you need to talk to somebody, talk to somebody. If you, afterwards, if you need to come and talk to me, if you need to gather a group of people around you to continue to pray more, if you need to make known to us, to the people who are around you, if there's someone who brought you and you are stepping out of the darkness for the first time, maybe you're not sure how to do that, please, we want to help you. We want to celebrate with you. Just pray. Let's have some moments.